Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The Burt Show.
What a cluster. A beautiful, chaotic cluster.
Well, if that's how we should go out, it should be a chaotic cluster as we do.
It was absolutely that with our diaper billboard photo shoot yesterday. Wow. Explain the scene in our conference room. Holy F.
All right. So if you want to know why the entire Burt Show team was in a conference room, and not just any conference room, but a conference room that's nothing but windows so everybody can see in to what is happening. So you have the entire Burt Show team there in diapers, wearing adult Depends. And then you have 13 babies also in diapers with their parents, who are the hardest, like several, the hardest core P1s. Two of the parents there had both been listening to the show since day one.
That was really cool for them to say that while they're there. Yeah.
Right. Like Polina, for example, started listening to the show when she was 10 and she is 35 now with the child and was at the photo shoot yesterday.
So just really quickly, we were doing that to pay off a promise we made to you guys that if you donated a certain amount of diapers to Helping Mamas, that we would do this. We'd go up on a billboard in diapers. So that's why the photo shoot was happening.
Yeah. And so, and Cassie is working on the photo. So let's just say trying to get a photo of 10 cast members and, I think we ended up having 12 babies. Is that correct?
I think so.
Because you and I was holding two and you were holding two and everybody else was holding one.
Because I remember, because Sarah Witherington, our photographer from Own Boudoir, was distributing the babies. And she tried to give Mikey two.
Yes, I saw
and
it.
Poor Mikey was still struggling with holding one. He was like, what do I do with my hands?
You should have seen the panic in his face. He was standing next to me, so I got to witness this. He was like, absolutely not. I can't do two. And he was right, because I had one in my hand. Cedar was in one hand, and they tried giving me a second, and I'm like, I don't trust myself with two. And I have kids. And Mikey was in a pure panic.
That's the point when I stepped in and announced. I was like, we're just going to give the moms on the show too, because I think we're the ones who could handle two. And that was not really for us. It was for the parents in the room, so they knew that we weren't going to drop their child.
I'm not exactly sure how to describe it to you, except to say that we walk in there, all these parents are really super nice, and these are all P1s, and they all have their babies with them. We come in, we greet them, we say hi a little bit, we see the little babies, we start hanging out with the little babies, and then when it's time to actually do the shoot, trying to organize all the moms and the babies to give us the babies at a certain amount of time, hoping that there's going to be one or two that aren't crying so we can get that shot also. Sarah is frantically trying to shoot what she can. Then we take a little bit of a break, give the babies back to their moms, we kind of reorganize, and then we do this process over and over and over again while the room is filled with screens from these infants.
Oh yeah, no, this is what the room sounded like.
I'm having more flashbacks.
Oh, poor Abby has PTSD. She's over here twitching, her eyes twitching. I have to know, at one point we looked over at you and you two were crying.
Abby literally was crying. I was laughing so hard at Abby, I couldn't figure out what this was triggering with you, as you were literally crying.
Even know. All I know is the baby in front of me is crying and I'm crying. I don't know if you've seen that that SNL sketch with Travis Kelce when it's some kind of stupid sketch that he has where there's like a fiance and he's meeting the fiance and they all just start involuntarily crying and like tears are shooting out of their eyes. That's how it felt, because I wasn't like sad or anything, but I was very overstimulated. The kids were crying. The kids are screaming. I'm holding all these different babies. I don't think I've even ever actually held a baby before, if I'm thinking about it. I can't recall a time I've ever actually held someone else's child. And these are P1, so I want to I want them to make sure that the kid's okay. And so I've got pressure there. And so the kids are like, ah! And then all of a sudden, finally, I get to my third baby, and we're finally, it's like the last shoot, and this this child just wanted nothing to do with it. And I felt so bad. I'm like, this poor baby just wants its mom. And then the baby's screaming at me. The baby's like, ah! And then I'm screaming back at the baby. I'm like, ah! And I just start hysterically laughing. And that laughing turns into crying at some point. Because I was like, I can't handle this. I'm getting my tubes tied tomorrow. I would be so bad at this.
It was definitely overstimulating.
Oh my God.
It was overwhelming. And the parents that had crying babies, I could tell, felt so bad. And I want you to know that is no indication of what kind of child you have.
Oh, my
that
God.
That was would a people, stressful situation.
Would women think that about themselves?
Yes.
Really? Just because your baby is crying in a new environment with 12 other babies around?
Well, it's bad. Well, here's the thing. It's uncomfortable because it's hard enough when you're in your own home and your child's having a meltdown or whatever. And then amplify that by, I don't know, a billion. And now you're in a public space around other people. And it's totally understandable why the mm-hmm. kids are crying. Like it was a lot. It was overstimulating for the adults, let alone for the children. Right.
I'm a 30-year-old woman. I had a meltdown.
Yeah.
You can't put the onus on your 2-year-old.
So I just want everybody to know that nobody thinks any less of your baby because he or she was crying. Like that was an intense situation.
Well, I hope everybody is okay this morning because at one point during the photo shoot, my watch vibrated and a message popped up. I looked down and it said, loud environment. Sound levels hit 90 decibels. Around 30 minutes at this level could cause temporary hearing loss.
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
When and where do the billboards go up?
It's going up Friday, and Tommy, the location, and also the billboard goes up on Friday, right, to pay off our Helping Mamas promise to you guys, collect over 75,000 diapers. We collect 102,000, by the way. You guys are freaking awesome. And it's going up Friday, but it'll also be on the website and on socials, duh. Also behind the scene photos, where you're not just going to see the polished photoshopped one that Cassie is doing, because trying to get all of our faces and all the baby's faces, that was a lot. And Tommy, you said the billboard's going up in Douglasville, correct?
Yes, it is in Douglasville. I'm looking for the address right now.
So most of you guys will be able to see it online.
I want to say it's Highway 5. It's near a mall. I know that.
Okay. Yeah, it's a heavy traffic area that, you know, is heavy with P1s.
Okay. I got it. Located in Douglasville, this highly visible digital unit is on a main artery near Arbor Place Mall and loaded with shops, grocery stores, restaurants, and businesses, so plenty of people will see this billboard.
No worries. So if you guys aren't in that area, then it'll be up online on Friday also. All right, Abby.
Today is a very exciting day because I'm going to be crying tonight for a whole other reason. Do you guys know what day it is?
Thursday,
October 2nd.
Uh-huh.
Any thoughts? Any feelings?
Oh, yeah,
any emotions?
Is it tonight?
Tonight is the night. Tonight is the night.
The
I'm excited
drops.
For you.
The new Taylor Swift album comes out tonight, which honestly, I have to be honest with you, I totally forgot. Homegirl has not done a good job of pre-promoting this album, but I have. I have been putting in the work for my girl Taylor Swift because tonight at Mutation Brewing Company, we're going to have an album listening party. So it starts at 10 p.m. There's no cover. It's totally free. You can show up. We're going to listen to Taylor Swift, do some trivia. We're going to have some giveaways as well. I think I may be hosting some kind of like finish that lyric trivia. So brush up on all your Taylor Swift songs. Going to be giving away some vinyls and some merch. And then at midnight, we're going to listen to TS12, which I have, you know, started to hear some rumors about that are very interesting.
I am trying to think here, Kristen. What could keep you up for a starting event at 10 o'clock and keep you out till 1 in the morning? Is there anything that Abby is doing, like Abby is doing tonight with Taylor Swift, that you would be so excited about that you'd go to at 10 o'clock.
Okay, so the last thing I remember doing that late that I actually enjoyed, it was looking forward to, and it was in Las Vegas at my bachelorette party when we went to the Magic Mike show.
Stop.
Different environment. You're going to be up anyway.
Exactly.
Right? The only thing I could think of is if they were doing some kind of night parade and like my Padres won the World Series or Chargers won a Super Bowl, I would be there if it started at 2:30 in the morning. That's the only thing I could think of.
Y'all don't have any like musical acts? Like if NSYNC was like, we're coming back for a tour and tickets were releasing at midnight, I would be staying up for that.
No, I got nothing.
No.
Really? Or what about UK? seats, like front row seats to the really important basketball game.
Well, the last time I did that again, but, and I have to, like, you know, I'm 46 now, and Bart and I were just talking about this yesterday of how cool it is when your school wins a national championship and you are actually attending school there at the time. And my freshman year at UK, they won a basketball national championship. And so, yeah, stayed up for that. And then afterwards, went down to State Street and partied our butts off until God knows, like, what time in the morning.
Right.
So definitely wouldn't miss out on a, you know, celebratory national championship. But I can't think of a single musical artist that now, if we're talking about right now, that I would stay up till 10 and then listen to the album till 1.
If Bob Marley or Michael Jackson came up and said, "Hey, just want to let you know, that was a hoax, man. I've been alive the entire time, but I'm back in the game." And they said, "We're going to do a concert at midnight," I'd go to that.
It would take a resurrection for you to stay up past your bedtime?
Yes. If John Lennon and George Harrison descend back Earthside and they meet up with Paul and Ringo, I will stay up for that Beatles concert.
There you go.
Well, maybe tonight pretend Taylor Swift is coming back from the dead, because she is. Because we haven't seen her for like over a year, and she's being hidden behind all these bulletproof glass doors and stuff because she has that stalker that's roaming around. She's trying to keep herself safe. So she technically is coming back tonight. We're going to get to see her. There's also like a premiere that I'm going to on Saturday for Q99.7 that, you know, there's going to be a whole listening party, and Taylor's going to talk about the behind the scenes of the album and the music video. It's going to be very fun.
This is really exciting for you and Swifty.
Heck
so
yeah.
Just so I have a visual here, at Mutation tonight, is there like a screen setup and Taylor is actually introducing all of her songs and you guys are watching her? Is it just listening?
That's going to be for the movie that comes out this weekend. Okay. This is just the listening party. The only person you're going to be seeing is my face going, new music. So it's going to be a really good time.
Do we know how many songs are on the album?
12, allegedly. Allegedly 12.
The Burt Show.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
By law, 21 plus, terms and conditions apply.
So based on what the stars are telling Abby, she should be moving to one city to find her dude. So before she tells us what city that is, Cass and Kristen, let me ask you guys, you're single now, right? There is no Bart, there's no Jimmy, there's no Chad, kids gone, right? If you are going to move to a city specifically where you think you would align with the men in that city, and you would find your soulmate, what city would that be?
Are we relegated to the United States of America?
No, you are not.
Ooh. It's interesting. I had an answer ready to go until you threw that last part in there. Because London, off the bat, is my favorite city in the world. I would move there in a heartbeat. And one of my biggest regrets is not living there longer.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I lived there for a summer working, but I wish I had stayed longer. But aligned with the men,
I'm going to Italy because I think while as a single woman, they can be a little overbearing, if you find yourself a good Italian man, he's going to treat you like a queen.
Okay.
I think I'm going to go to Sydney.
Sydney, Australia. Yeah. Why is that?
Just because every Australian dude I've ever seen is super hot, super funny, and super laid back. Sure, they're all on TV, so right. I don't have much to go by, but they seem like fun. The only drawback is I would move to Sydney, and we would immediately move out of Sydney because of all the deadly creatures in Australia.
Oh, yeah, so everybody there looks like Chris Hemsworth.
Yes.
So, okay.
Steve Irwin.
Or what?
Steve Irwin.
Which, not bad. Have you seen Robert Irwin, his kid?
Like, too,
and they're smart, and they know animals. They could protect me from them.
Mine is much more basic than that. It is Tokyo, absolutely. So I could finally be one of the taller men to date in the city, and in Tokyo and in Japan, I would get just that.
Well, I'm not moving specifically to find a man. I'm specifically moving for a paycheck. So I guess whatever man wants to pay me, that's where I'm going to find myself most aligned with. But I was thinking about something that came to mind when I first moved to Atlanta, and I can't remember if I had heard it on the show or if I had heard it on somebody else's show that I was listening to, but they brought up something called astrocartography. And if you don't know what astrocartography is, it's basically this map that you can generate using your birthplace, your birth time, your birth year, all that good stuff. And it will generate a map to tell you like where your Jupiter and Venus lines are on the globe. And basically these lines align you for certain parts of your life. Like if you want to meet a man, there are certain lines that you can look for to go to that city, and that's where you're apparently more aligned with when it comes to love. Or there are lines that bring up good energy for your career. So I thought, you know what? I could go anywhere right now. Nothing at this point in time is keeping me in Atlanta. So why don't I ask the stars where I should go?
I think I've told you this before, that Stacey had a friend when we were living in Dallas that just decided for whatever reason in her heart was where she was going to meet her man in Seattle. That's it. She just had a gut instinct. So her name was Jean Rieger. Can't believe I remember her name. So Jean decided to move to Seattle. That's what her heart was telling her to do. And sure enough, she met her man, started a family, and they've been together ever since.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Whether or not you believe in astrocartography, because I had a friend who was like obsessed with astrology, I do think there are cities, like as soon as you touch base, you have a totally different vibe before you even experience the culture. Like there are ones I touch down in and I'm like, not great vibes, and others down in and you're like, God, I love this place already.
It was so funny because whenever you and I used to do those junkets for the award shows, we would go out to LA and you were like a different person as soon as we landed. Yeah. Like Cassie was in her element and I'm like, LA.
Yeah. I refer to it as, I do believe that different cities have different souls.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can go there and you can feel it as soon as you walk there, walk around town, you can feel the soul of a city. Some have no soul at all, like Miami.
So I think there's something to it because I definitely feel that way about cities. I have been very vocal about certain cities that I do not feel aligned with their soul. And there are other cities that I feel like wake up my soul. So I thought, you know, if I'm going to at least look for jobs, maybe I need to at least start with the city to start looking for jobs in. You know, maybe I got to go be a barista in Madrid for a little bit. I don't know. So I decided to go to my favorite doctor, Dr. GPT, and I put in my astrocartography information, which is your birthday, your birth time, all that stuff, and it generates an astrocartography map where it will show you where your Venus lines are, your Jupiter lines are, and it'll tell you where you should move based off of vibes. And so I didn't want to do all that math, so I asked it to give me the top three. I asked it to look at it for me and tell me what three cities I should move to based off my vibes.
I'm very invested in this for some reason.
I am
too. I'm like, I'm going to do this as soon as the mics go off.
Yeah,
man.
Same.
It's really fun. So the top three cities it gave me, and none of these are in the U.S., so I'm curious, do you guys want to throw out like a guess before I give you them?
For you, just based on what we know about you, what cities to me? Somewhere like in Ireland or a Scotland or something.
You did thrive when you took your girls' trip to Ireland.
There is something about the UK that going to the UK, I will say going there feels like I know that soul.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm going back in December, because I'm like, I want to feel that way again.
Yeah. And I think it to your heritage, because your last name's Murphy, for goodness sakes.
Mm-hmm. And my hair does thrive there. I'm like, my ancestors obviously knew what they were doing living here, because my hair has never looked better than it did in Dublin, Ireland.
So I'm going to second that.
I'm going to say Buenos Aires.
Ooh.
Also an excellent, amazing city, by the way.
And the dudes are very good looking in Argentina.
Booking my flight soon.
I almost said one country and then I was like, yeah, no, that's not right. I'm thinking somewhere in the Caribbean.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm like, I keep going back and forth between the Bahamas or Turks and Caicos or, St. Thomas.
Oh my God, I would love to go to St. Thomas.
Yeah, I'm doing St. Thomas.
So unfortunately, the Virgin Islands are not on the list. In the third spot for me, it's Cape Town, South Africa.
Oh, what a great place. Amazing. I can see you there for sure.
It's on the moon line for me, which means it is tied to emotions, family, or inner life.
My sister lived in Cape Town for quite a while, and one of her favorite cities. She loves it.
I've been there, and it has everything. You would love that. You should go to Cape Town.
Now I gotta go to Cape Town.
Okay.
The second city on the list is Tokyo, Japan, which surprised me because I've never felt drawn to go all the way to Japan because it's really far and those plane tickets are expensive.
I think you would thrive there because there's such a sense of community in Japan that I think that you thrive with.
Mm-hmm.
there's hardly any violence at all, no crime. It'd be great for, and I don't know anything about the dudes.
I think you would get stopped a lot, though. So my friend went, and he's tall and blonde, and the amount of times he got stopped and asked for photos, because it's so, like, not what they see every single day. Yeah. So, yeah, you would definitely be like a little celeb in your own cosmos there.
That you're is so just, exotic.
That's a, oh my, nobody has ever called me exotic
in
ever.
In Tokyo, you'd be exotic.
And honestly, if I ever need to feel relevant again after the show goes away, I'll just go to Tokyo. Because I'll be like, oh my God, a celebrity. Okay, so Tokyo, Japan, that was on my Sun and Jupiter line, which is places where you might feel the most confident, visible, or yourself. And it aligns with growth, luck, and expansion. And this was pretty freaky. When I got this this result for my top city for where I should move to,
I'll die if it's Tampa.
You go from Town to Tokyo. Tampa. St. Pete Beach. No, this is, I keep getting pushed back to this city over and over and over again. And before I even got this result, I've already made plans to go back to this city next summer. And I'm like, God, I have tried avoiding this city so much that there must be something for me in this city because I keep getting pushed back there. Barcelona, Spain.
Really?
I really like Barcelona. I went when I was a kid and I remember my family and I had like a whatever time. And then my friends really wanted to study abroad and I was like, I'll go wherever you guys want to go. And they chose Barcelona. And I was like, y'all, I've been there before. Like, Barcelona is great, but it's not that great. We had a great summer in Barcelona. And I was making plans for travel next summer and I was talking to my travel advisor for like trips I'm going to plan. And I was hell bent on going to Italy, which I'm still going to go to. I'm still going to plan that on my own. But they were just being so difficult. And I was like, you know what? Pick somewhere else and I'll work with y'all. And she said, well, we have this great itinerary for Barcelona. Let's go there. And I was like, sign me up. So something's happening in Barcelona next year. I don't know if I'm moving there or if I'm just traveling there, but I'm going to be in España.
I see. I did. Like you, Bart, I was highly invested in where the stars wanted to send Abby.
Yeah.
Can we give you whatever you inputted and you surprise us with the cities tomorrow?
So she's asking for the prompt that you use, but use it for us with our details.
Yeah, you'll need our birthday, you'll need our birth location, and you'll need our time of birth, and that's all you need?
All of it, and I can generate it in ChatGPT, and I will surprise you with what cities you should move to after October 24th.
Yeah, I would love for you to like break the news of where the stars want to send us rather than us pulling it up ourselves.
All right, before I hit the bed and we get out of this, for those that are listening, what's the exact prompt that you used?
The exact prompt I said was based off my astrocartography.
How do you spell that?
Astro cartography.
Maps. Cartography.
Histophonic. based off my astrocartography, where should I move? This is my birth date. So my birth date, April 22nd, 1997. I was born at 12:30 p.m. in Arlington, Texas. And then you go, and it'll generate the cities for you.
Okay, that's a real good one.
It is. I love it so much. I'm excited to hear where we're all supposed to end up tomorrow.
All right. So tomorrow morning you will tell us if we weren't in love and already settled in where we should go.
I will reveal all tomorrow.
I will have to go home and look at my birth certificate because I can't remember off the top of the head what time I was born.
That's important.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I know it is.
It'll be all messed up, Kristen.
I know. We can't mess it up.
The Bert Show.
We call it Follow-Up Thursday for a reason. You guys hit us up. And you're like, yo, Bert Show, whatever happened to blank? We only have a couple weeks left to do these, so send them to us at thebertshow.com. And in this case, she knew her friend was having an affair with a married man, so she tracked down the wife, told her everything. So what's happened since?
You want to go ahead and do the full recap, and then I'll give the update.
Yep, we can do that. So Rachel called us to expose her best friend, Michelle, for dating a married man with kids, hoping to scare her straight. Her plan backfired when Michelle called in after hearing Rachel on air, and the two had a huge blowout. Michelle said she wasn't stopping and ended their friendship, but Rachel wasn't done. She took it a step further by messaging the married man's wife on Facebook, spilling everything, including Michelle's real name. We thought the whole thing was icky, and we agreed the wife needed to know, but it wasn't Rachel's place to tell her. And the last we heard, the wife had it responded, and Michelle blocked Rachel on everything.
All right, your update reads, hey guys, so the wife finally responded to my message. Turns out, she already suspected something was going on for a while, but didn't have proof. She thanked me for confirming it and said it gave her what she needed to confront him. The bigger news, though, is that Michelle actually ended the affair. I guess after everything blew up, reality kind of hit her. She reached out to me a few weeks ago, and we've been slowly trying to rebuild our friendship. It's not perfect, and there's still some tension, but we're working on it. She apologized for how things went down, and I apologized for the way I handled it. Turned out, we both made mistakes. Honestly, I thought I'd feel better about being right. But mostly I just learned that sometimes being right isn't worth losing people over.
Oh, that sucks because feeling right feels so good.
For about 30 seconds.
That should be the best.
Anyway, thanks for listening to my drama, Rach.
All right, so you and your almost five-year-old, do I have that right?
He's four and a half.
He's four and a half. Had a deep conversation. About God.
Out of the blue, out of nowhere. So this was, I think all of the context is important to the timing of this conversation and the contents of the conversation, right? So it was the day you announced that you were retiring, okay? And that October 24th was going to be the final BERT show. And that was an emotional day, right? And then you're starting to get messages and it's the reality of the situation. Like it had been talked about for so long, but now it's like it's actually happening. The secret is out and it was a more emotional day than I had even anticipated. So I'm at home and I hit up my good friend Molly and I'm like, I need to see a baby.
Not the drug, a real person.
A real person.
That's not your way of referring to MDMA.
You got to stop talking to those pills.
I know. So I hit up my friend Molly and I'm like, Jimmy and I are coming over for a play date with Joni. Okay. And so Jimmy and I get in the car and again, it's later in the afternoon and we're only going to be there for an hour because, you know, bedtimes. But I was like, no, this is worth it. I have to get out of my house. I feel like the house is closing in on me. So let's get in the car. Let's cruise 10 minutes to baby Joni's house and see Joni Pony. Jimmy and I are in the car and he's being very good because he's very excited to see Joni. I don't know what kind of witchcraft that baby does, but she gets everybody to absolutely fall in love with her, including my own child. And we're sitting at a red light because, again, it's now 5 o'clock. So we're in 5 o'clock traffic and Jimmy's just kind of like staring out the window and I'm driving and we're driving in silence. For once, the Blippi excavator song isn't blaring. He didn't request to hear construction vehicle songs on our way over there. And out of nowhere, unprompted, Jimmy is like, again, just kind of staring off out the window. God made this. And I'm like, huh? The trees. God made the trees. I was like, all right. He's like, yeah. God made me. God made you. And it was just out of nowhere. So now, being the consummate radio co-host, and I feel like I always ask really good follow-up questions, I asked Jimmy, huh, so is God a man or a woman?
Did he say, I'm not getting into that, Mom?
It's 2025, Kristen.
Right, because it's like a four-year-old, and their minds are just, yeah. I was so fascinated by, and I don't even know what prompted me, but that was the question, right? And mm-hmm. I turned, like, you know, I'm kind of looking in the rearview mirror, and we're still sitting at this red light, and I go, is God a man or a woman? And he never looks at me. He's still just, like, staring out the window.
Yeah.
And he's like, neither. God's invisible. And I was like, okay. And I'm just kind of sitting there trying to process like this conversation. One, where the heck it came from. Notice I didn't use the word H-E double hockey sticks because, you know, the context of the story. And then the light turns green and we start going. And then that's when he asked if we could put on the excavator.
It was short lived.
As the good Lord intended.
Right. But
he goes to a school that is religious leaning, right? So are they teaching any of that?
Used to. So his old preschool, yes. Which we loved. I never disclosed where he was going to school because I didn't want people to know where he was. Yeah. But I can now. It was St. James Methodist Preschool, right? Yeah. And yeah, they were obviously religious leaning, but he's now going to a public school. Huh. And it was just so out of the blue and so random. But it oddly made me feel better.
No doubt.
Yeah. So by the way, God is neither a man or a woman. They are invisible.
The life according to Jimmy.
Yep.
Get it? The Burt Show.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. And when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus T&Cs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I will admit that as excited as I am to retire from radio, I am having brief stages of freaking out about it, the reality of it, you know? Like, just the thought, like, I'm trying to be realistic about it. I am excited. I am excited to travel. It's one of the major reasons why I'm taking off is at my age, I feel like I'm in pretty good health. And I think in our country, unfortunately, because the way that our system is set up, you have to work, and then you're old, and then you retire, and then you might not be in great shape in order to go on the vacations that you really want to do. And I just don't want that for myself, man. I've been saving for a long time to where I can not only go on vacations and see the world, I want to be left in awe, right? And I want to pursue joy with my family. But there are times now where I'm trying to be realistic because I'm not going on the road 365 days, right? Like, so as soon as the show is over on the 24th, the morning of the 25th, I'm leaving for home San Diego. And that's like my place of peace, man. As soon as those wheels land from that plane, San Diego for me is just like an exhale, right? I'm going to go to Wind and Sea Beach, which is the place that I used to go to when I was a kid and things were crappy in my house. I would just drive to the beach and I would go to Wind and Sea. And that was the place I just found peace. So I'm going to go hang there for a week. Then I'm coming back for a couple of weeks. Then I'm going to go look at stars in Sedona for a week also. I put the final touches on a month long trip to New Zealand yesterday also for next year that I'm looking really forward to. But in between then, what the hell am I going to do? And I'm starting to freak out about it a little bit. Like, what does a day like that look like? When I wake up in the morning, it's kind of nothingness. Oh, well,
and to be fair, you typically don't thrive in nothingness.
I have never thrived in nothingness.
You need somethingness.
Yeah, I need. So I am starting to freak out about it just a little bit. Like, what are those days going to look like? You know,
hey, if you want to change your mind, Abby and I wouldn't be mad about it.
No, somebody asked me the other day. It was a really good question. Is there anything that could lure you back into doing radio? Right. Mm-hmm. And it was like, you must come back. Like, what would it be? And my answer was only that I would only want to come in and do the show.
Oh.
I don't want to prepare for it. Yep. I don't want to have to think of content. I don't want to have to think of schedules. I get in here, it's like Seacrest. When I hung with Seacrest for a night and I asked him about his schedule, because he was doing so many different things at that time. And I had a chance, I'm like, dude, how do you do all this, right? And he would tell me that in his limousine on the way in the Kiss FM in Los Angeles, he would get this big catalog and he would read through it before he got into the radio station, and the producers had put together the entire show. He didn't know who was lined up, what they were going to do. He just gets in that limo. He checks it all out. He gets in there at 6 a.m. or whenever he got in there, and he executed the game plan, and then he got out of there at 10:01. That's what I would do.
Okay, got it. That can be arranged.
Okay.
We'll figure it out.
All right, then you might get me back. But the DMs and the messages that you guys have been sending me over the course of the last couple of weeks have been so incredibly touching. And I put in a request for you guys, like, hey, thank you so much. And I don't want this to be some kind of victory lap. What I really want, and what would really touch my heart, is to know that we touched you in somehow, some way over the course of 25 years, got you through a hard time, something other than, I don't even know what I'm looking for. It's just like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want the ego part of it, but I think when you're leaving a job like this, or any job at all, or life, you want to know that you're leaving behind a legacy, that you've really touched somebody. They may not remember certain things about it, but they remember how you made them feel.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been getting a lot of these, and this one I want to read for you, Abby. As you count down the days to Burt's retirement and you share your memories from shows past, I want to share with you the impact that Abby has had on my life during her short but meaningful time on the show.
Short is the emphasis there.
I have listened to the show for many, many years. When Abby started on the show, I was in a very dark place in my life, kind of like where Abby is right now. That was ad-lib.
No, that's actually just the studio because the lights are out in this corner.
I know. Just by the end of... can we put that one request in? By the time we're out of here, can you please get a light over you?
Okay, look, it's like Abby's in a dark place. It's like not mentally. I just physically... I'm physically under no lights right now.
Her vulnerability, her willingness to express herself, and her openness helped me to overcome my darkest days. When she shared her battles with depression, negative thoughts, and anxiety, I was able to see that I am not alone. I'm ashamed to say that there was a time when all I could think of was leaving this earth. I felt worthless and thought that the world was better off without me. Abby helped me see that I had value, and I was able to pick myself up and quiet those thoughts. I have since been able to take on new challenges, travel to new places, and restart my life with energy I never thought I had. Now when I hear her voice on the radio, I remember how dark it was and how Abby helped shine a light I needed so desperately. I sincerely hope that she will be able to share her gifts and talents beyond this show so that others may be helped the way I was. Please, if you could share this message with her, I only hope she knows how special she is. If you do choose to share this with her on air, please let me know. It would make my day knowing she got to hear this. Sincerely, Jay.
Aw, that's incredibly sweet. And I'm really glad you shared it with me. And I remember that like a year ago, I was just like super depressed. And I'm just in a completely different place. Definitely not... I mean, I know I'm physically in the darkness right now, but I'm definitely out of it. And, you know, if I could do anything to make somebody's life a little bit better, then this would have been worth it all, for sure.
I think that there are days, and I think I've said this before also, where we just come in here, we chop it up with each other, we're having a really good time, we're trying to make you guys laugh. That's priority number one. But you just never know what these guys are going through and how they have been touched. And you saved a woman's life.
Well, I don't know if I would go that far.
No, she literally said that.
She saved herself, but I was a part of her journey. Like, I want to give credit where credit is due. Like, she, whoever this person is, lived through those hard days. And, you know, I'm so grateful to be a part of your journey in any way and to have eased any pain in this very difficult life. But I want to make sure she knows, like, you also got yourself out of there too. You know, you had to sit with yourself on the hard and lonely and weird days, and you got yourself out of that. And I'm happy to have been of any help, but I think this person also should be proud of the journey that they went through.
And we're so glad that they are still here with us.
Absolutely.
Amen to that.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Well, I think we might know why Keith Urban and Nicole Kidman are separating. And it all has to do with a lyric change at a recent performance that some very keen fans have picked up on. So if you've somehow missed this story, Keith Urban and Nicole Kidman are divorcing after 19 years of marriage. I feel like everyone was blindsided by this divorce because they had been together for 19 years, seemed so happy. And according to the divorce filings, they separated this summer. And now people think it's because he may have a new younger girlfriend. So during a recent show, he was performing a song called The Fighter. And there's a lyric in it that he changed. That the original lyric was, "When they're trying to get you, baby, I'll be the fighter." And he changed it to this. And he says one woman's name in it. So just vaguely, you can hear, "When they're trying to get to you, Maggie, I'll be your guitar player." And Maggie is a woman in his band that I believe is a guitar player. She's a 25-year-old guitarist. Her name is Maggie Baugh. And he says, "When they're trying to get to you, Maggie, I'll be your guitar player." And now people think because he changed those lyrics that these two are together.
It can be interpreted so many different ways, though. What if they're close and she's going through a really difficult time and he's just a friend and she's leaning on him?
Yeah, I feel like that's a leap. And I don't think he obviously knows what he's doing. Like, he changed the lyrics, and I don't know if he thought through, like, with the timing of the announcement of the separation and the announcement of the divorce and the filing of the divorce. I'm wondering if he thought through how people would perceive that lyric. And I get why people are would perceive that way, because we love the drama. Mm-hmm. We love the tea. But this sounds more to me, especially if she's 25, that he's trying to help her in some capacity as a mentor, not so much as, and I could be totally wrong, but I just feel like he's smarter than that, and he wouldn't have said that lyric if they were romantically involved.
Cassie is rolling her eyes so hard I can hear it.
One thing I love about Kristen is her ability to believe and see the good in people. He's totally banging her.
No way.
Please. Are you kidding me? That is such a jab. If your divorce gets announced, it's either he is sleeping with her or it's a jab at Nicole to mention another woman's name in a song right after you announce a divorce. Like, yeah, we could say with the timing, they've probably been on the rocks for a while. I can see him maybe not thinking through the timing, but at the same time, you can't be that naive. He knows what he's doing.
I was going to say that line itself right there has resonated with me for years and years and years. Stop making excuses for manipulators. They know what they're doing. Now, I don't know anything about this dude. I don't know if he's a good dude, a manipulator, but if he is, then maybe he does know what he's doing.
I mean, it would be very easy just to say baby instead of Mag, like a woman's name. Like, if you're there for someone, you can be there for them behind the scenes. So using a woman's name in a song like that when you know the country is watching you with hawk eyes because you just announced your divorce is a very intentional move.
On the flip side, I can almost see if it's not something nefarious or if it's not some kind of affair that's happening or a new girlfriend or a hookup that's going on, is I could understand if that's a song about your soon-to-be ex-wife, Nicole Kidman, and you're singing about her, you almost maybe want to deflect in your own head by saying somebody else's name. So maybe he has a rapport with this guitarist, even though, you know, she's a younger, maybe attractive young woman. And so he's deflecting by not thinking about Nicole, by changing up the lyrics and trying to make it something lighthearted and silly. So I could also see that side of the things too. But we'll never know.
I think I'm starting to lean where Cassie's at.
Well, I mean, if he had a history of that, but like I just did a quick, I'm like, is Keith Urban a good guy? Like, that's what I just Googled, right? To see, like, and it says he's generally viewed as a positive public figure, known for his humble, down-to-earth personality, genuine kindness, significant charitable efforts. I mean, Nicole Kidman was the one who got him sober. They had that intervention and was there. So that's why I'm so hard pressed. I've never heard a bad word about the dude. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm hard pressed to be like, this was like a jab at Nicole. Because that would be so out of character
for
him.
In some ways, I hate speculating about this, this because I've seen speculation online about different members of this show or this show, and it's been totally and completely wrong. So I feel a little bit hypocritical. But I do know this, that when you're going through a divorce, especially those beginning couple of months, you're so angry at each other, man. You're so hurt that while it might not be an affair, maybe it's a shot just because he's so angry on what's going on that we don't even know about.
Or maybe he's just, it really could be that he's just excited about a new relationship. And that I don't think makes him a bad person to like go start dating someone else. Your divorce has been announced, your relationship's over. And maybe he was feeling pressure from a girlfriend to be like, hey, it's my, you know, let's do this. And so, yeah, I think he can still be a good guy and do that. But I definitely think whether it was a jab at Nicole or announcing a new relationship, I just feel like it's intentional.
Either way, it's short-sighted. I mean, he's got kids that can understand this now. What, right? They're 14 and 17 or something like that. So they're going to hear that lyric and realize how insensitive it is to their mother. So in the long run, it's a bad play.
Get it? The Burt Show.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No